tweets at The Letters, Sportsnet's Blue Jays podcast with Arden Zwelling and Ben Nicholson Smith.
Full count to Tulowitzki. It swung on, hit in the air to right field, and hit pretty well. Back goes Nava. He looks up. That ball's gone. And way gone, beyond the berm. First home run of the spring for Troy Tulowitzki. Cuts the Phillies' lead in half. Blue Jays are down 2-1.
It's at The Letters for Wednesday, March 29th on Sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. My name is Arden Zwelling, and I'm joined as always by my co-host Ben Nicholson Smith. Ben, March 29th, bud, we're getting there.
Yeah, it's days away, and it's been a while since we did one of these too.
Not really. Oh, like both together in the same room,
yeah. And in Toronto too. Because yeah. The last we did one in Dunedin, which was a while ago now, but it's been a while since we were here at the Fan 590 Studios.
Well, it's good to be back on home turf.
Exactly.
You know, it's good to be back in civilization, back in like a city.
Yeah, you've left the sprawling Florida landscape behind you.
You really do notice it when you're like in small town Florida for a while and then you come back to the big city. It's just a different brand of people. I'll tread carefully here.
Sure.
It's a different, you know, a different variety of folk.
Or even just looking at the cities themselves, like it's much denser here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Urban density. We got some of that going on in Toronto. So this will serve today as kind of the unofficial official ATL Blue Jays season preview. Because look, we're going to do podcasts before the season, but we're probably not going to have time to get to a fulsome season preview. So we'll do it today. We'll also do over unders today when, you know, everyone's favorite ATL tradition, perhaps the only tradition we have.
I think it is the only tradition.
Yeah, literally, three. This is like the third season technically of At the Letters, and we have but one tradition.
Yeah,
we need more traditions.
Well, I really like the over under tradition. I
is
really
it because
like
you've over- won two years in a row?
It does contribute, but I do like over unders in general.
I will tell you this year I have not even thought about how I'm going to answer the over-unders. Like, nice. We have our list.
Yep.
We figured it out, but I haven't even thought about how I'm going to answer them. I'm going to do it on the spot.
Nice.
Just going to go with the gut.
There you go.
You got to go with the gut.
Too analytical these past couple of years. Now you're just going to go with the instinct.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to over-prepare. I'm just going to see ball, hit ball.
There you go.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. Not too much time in the video room for Will Artie, but... hey, it's a new season for the Toronto Blue Jays. They're 0-0 right now, and they have players who are going to play baseball for them, and we're going to talk about them. Let's start with what I'd say is the easiest thing to knock off, starting rotation. It's been set. It was set at the end of last year and through the winter, and you know, nobody got hurt this spring, although Aaron Sanchez has a bit of a blister thing, but he's dealt with that before. Pretty decent little rotation, I would say. Nobody... You know, maybe with the exception of Aaron Sanchez, like there's no, you know, there's nobody who's like a, you know, workhorse, ace type, Chris Sale, David Price type of guy, but it's deep. And I think that just consistently 1 through 5, you have a very consistent level of production and what you can expect from those starters.
Yeah, this looks like a really good group, 1 through 5. And I think that to me, this is one of the top rotations in baseball. Did you see though, the Fangraphs had them 16th?
I saw some people talking about that, but like it's not a rotation that projections are going to love, you know, like projection systems aren't going to love Marco Estrada pumping in 88, 89 miles an hour up in the zone at Rogers Center, you know, or J-Hap only throwing fastballs. Like it's not, they aren't projection happy guys, you know, Marcus Stroman having missed an entire year with injury, Aaron Sanchez having, you know, a pretty decorated history of walking a lot of guys, as does Francisco Liriano. I don't think projections are going to look at this rotation too favorably.
Yeah, that's probably fair, and that's why I would have them definitely much higher than 16th. I don't think they're the best rotation in baseball by any stretch, not when you have teams like the Nationals and Cubs and Mets around. But to me, they're in that same category as, I don't know, maybe Cleveland or Tampa has a very good rotation. Boston would be comparable now that they have so many questions surrounding Price. So yeah, I think we can agree this is a very clear strength on this team.
Absolutely. The Blue Jays, as everyone knows, led the American League in ERA, in staff year, sorry, rotation ERA last year, which is a very nice thing to do. But something that doesn't get talked about as much is that the Blue Jays led the majors in rotation innings pitched last year. The Blue Jays got 995 and a third innings pitched from their starters last year. That's a lot.
It is.
That's more than any other team in baseball.
Yeah, and it's... it's interesting because you can't expect them to replicate quite that same kind of success, but they are going to need a lot of innings from their rotation.
I think so.
Because if not, then you're asking for more from the bullpen. And we'll get to the bullpen in a bit here, but you know, I don't know that you want that bullpen pitching more innings than it absolutely has to.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to look at the Blue Jays, you know, as their rotation, they're below average in strikeouts last year, not a, you know, a huge swing and miss rotation. A lot of guys who are trying to get contact, you know, you got sinker ballers and Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez. You know, Marco Estrada is trying to get weak fly ball contact.
Dickey last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Dickey last year, you know, really Liriano is the one true like swing and miss strikeout guy. But even he will pitch contact from, you know, time to time, look to get ground balls. Like it's a rotation that's looking to put the ball in play.
Yeah. And that's where the Blue Jays defense comes in. And that's why I think that we can safely project this rotation to be probably a good rotation again, because when you look at the defensive pieces that they have, it's a pretty good defensive team. You've got guys up the middle like Tulowitzki. You've got Russell Martin, who's able to help his pitchers out with his receiving skills. You've got Kevin Pillar, of course, Josh Donaldson. So even though on the corners, particularly in the outfield corners, you are going to have some question marks, I think overall, we saw it last year with the rate at which the Blue Jays converted batted balls into outs, best in the American League. I think that'll support this pitching staff this year.
Yeah, I wonder if we underrate that you know, it's like a really good rotation, but it's also got Troy Tulowitzki up the middle, Kevin Pillar, Russell Martin behind the plate plays a huge role in that in terms of stealing strikes and calling games and you know, just handling the pitching staff. Look, Justin Smoke's a good defender at first base. Josh Donaldson's really improved his defense at third base. You know, they're five good pitchers, but the supporting staff is, you know, it's kind of like an ensemble cast in a movie. Like the stars, the star actors are supported by this great supporting cast that makes it a rather nice film.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that on a team that's pretty old, is there concern that they would get worse defensively this year?
Well, you know, I'm not concerned up the middle. Like, you know, I until Troy Tulowitzki shows me that he's going to decline defensively, I'm not going to predict it. You know, I mean, look, last year he looked terrific. And this spring he's looked fantastic. He's looked like himself. And I know that how much work he puts in on the backfields in Dunedin and taking endless ground balls. Not worried about him. I mean, look, Devin Travis is still young. Kevin Pillar, still young. Russell Martin's in great shape this spring, and I don't have concerns about his defense. So, you know, I really like you'd be looking, you know, I'm not concerned about Josh Donaldson, Justin Smoke. So really, like, it's corner outfielders. Those are the two, right? So I don't know, like, I'm not too concerned. I guess Jose Bautista has shown some defensive decline, although I don't know that he's as unplayable defensively as some people make him out to be. Like, I think he's fine in right field for 130 games, 140, whatever it is. And then we'll see who ends up in left field. Steve Pierce certainly isn't the most athletic defender out there. Ezekiel Carrera can get some balls, as can Melvin Upton Jr. We'll see who ends up playing the bulk of time out there. I'm not too concerned, are you?
No, and I think, too, when you look at those corner outfield spots, you see Saunders out there last year, and this is not someone who is a particularly strong defensive player. And Bautista last year was pretty vulnerable defensively. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like they're working from all-star level defense in those corners. I think they'll still be a strong defensive team.
I think a healthy Jose Bautista will help, because look, last year, like, you know, he's been very frank about it this spring. Like, he didn't have his arm last year, and he was still getting over that through spring training, through the beginning of last year. And then obviously he had the toe thing and the knee thing, and that had to hamper him. I mean, it just had to hold him back, you know, to a certain extent. So I wonder if a healthy Jose Bautista will look better in right field than he did last year.
Yeah, and the way things are going right now, that's what he looks like. He looks very healthy, and who knows if that can hold up. Certainly the Blue Jays are hoping it can, but as long as he is healthy, he looks better than he did last year.
Let's move into the diamond, and let's stick in the outfield. You're going to get Jose Bautista in right field. You're going to get Kevin Pillar in center. We'll see who we get in left. I think the Blue Jays want Steve Pierce to be that guy in left. Although, you know, we'll see if, you know, Ezekiel Carrera plays there. We'll see if Melvin Upton is even on this team. And you know, because he's very much on the bubble right now. We'll see if we see Dalton Pompey at some time this year, if you know, he gets over his concussion. What do you think of this outfield and how it sets up right now?
It's a good outfield, I think. Pillar, for all of his ups and downs offensively, for all the discussion surrounding who he can be as an offensive player, I mean, if you set that aside and you just focus on the fact that he's a great defender and a good base runner, then you've got yourself a very good center fielder. Mm-hmm. So they're set in center field as long as Pilar's healthy. Clearly, right. that's the big question there for any player who plays with the kind of intensity that Pilar does. And right field, I think that's above average. I mean, I think Jose Bautista, even at age 36, this guy is just so powerful. He's such a good hitter. He's such a good on-base type of player that he, to me, is well above average. And then you get to left field, below average, clearly. That's one of the biggest weaknesses on this team.
What if Steve Pierce plays there 130 times?
Then he's surpassing his existing career high in games by 28. And yeah. I'll admit that I was wrong. But you know what I mean? Like, we haven't seen that happen. Yeah. And that would be great for the Blue Jays if that happens. And Pierce, by all accounts, is looking healthy and doing well and throwing better. But I don't think that we can realistically count on seeing that kind of production from Steve Pierce.
I think that's what the Blue Jays are hoping.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you that an Ezekiel Curra, Melvin Upton platoon isn't ideal. And I don't know if you're going to get both those guys even, on your opening day roster.
Right.
It's not, it's looking like the Blue Jays might have to make a choice there. They've been very clear that they really like Ezekiel Carrera and the people in their front office really like him. They haven't spoken as glowingly about Melvin Upton Jr. this spring.
Yeah.
And it looks like, it looks like there could be a roster decision coming down here, assuming Devin Travis is healthy, between Ryan Goins and Melvin Upton Jr. And I think probably the team's going to, take Ryan Goins.
Man, wouldn't you take Upton though?
Wouldn't I?
Or I guess without leading you on with my question, who would you take out of those two?
It's interesting because when you have Darwin Barney, is Ryan Goins necessary? But I think the Blue Jays, believe Ryan Goins can play more than just the infield. I think they can use him, as in left field or right field if they need to. He's played there a bit this spring, played there a little bit last year. What would I do? I don't know. I haven't thought about it enough, but I think that the Blue Jays are leading towards Ryan Goins.
So Ryan Goins' career OPS plus 62, meaning that he is...
That's not good.
For his career, 38% below league average.
Yeah.
Melvin Upton, for his career, 97. So for his career as an offensive player, 3% below league average.
Right.
So we're not talking about, Willie Mays and Willie McCovey here, but... In both cases, they're going to be subpar offensive players based on the career numbers. But Goins is well below where Upton has been.
Yes, and so you would take Melvin Upton in that in that choice.
And I think that if you're looking at outfield defense, then Upton with his speed would presumably be a better outfield defender than Goins, even though Goins is a terrific infield defender.
Right. I just Melvin Upton. He never got settled last year when he came over. I mean, he came to Toronto and just didn't work out for him at all. And, he's like, everything's there, man. The speed's there. Defense is there. Look, he's clearly got pop in his bat and he takes some pretty healthy cuts. But, last year, you just saw him strike out a whole lot. You saw him not get much playing time. And this spring, he hasn't looked great either.
Yeah. For sure.
And then do you run into an issue where you're carrying both Carrera and Upton? And it's like, why? If Steve Pierce is going to play left field, why do you need both those guys on your roster?
Right.
Do they not kind of cancel each other out?
Sure. And some of that depends on their confidence level in Pierce being able to play the outfield regularly. Could be in the mix at first base, but it seems like, you were down there much more recently than I was. Was there a level of optimism there that Pierce would be able to hang in left field?
Yeah, I think so. He's like sped through his throwing program. He's looked great. Like, he feels great. He looks really good at first base. I think first base is his natural position, really. He makes a nice turn at first base. He looks good there. He's not the biggest target in the world. But look, if he can play a capable left field, it just makes your lineup that much better having his bat in it in left. Is like kind of hoping that Justin Smoak is able to put together a nice season as well.
And that's where the outfield and first base mix are pretty tied together. I think that if you're looking at the outfield in isolation, I would say pretty clearly a strength of this team. And I would say that regardless of whether Pierce is in there or whether it's some sort of mix of guys.
So then let's try to knock off first base here, since it is kind of tied to left field. I think you're going to see a lot of Justin Smoak there. I think the Blue Jays are going to open the season with Justin Smoak playing nearly every day, and he's going to get a chance to say, like, hey, can you be that guy? Because I think the Blue Jays believe there's a three true outcome player in there. Just haven't seen enough of the outcomes that you would like to see. I think the Blue Jays believe there is a player in there, and they're obviously contractually invested in him for a couple of years. So I think they're going to give him a shot. I don't think his rope's going to be super long. We saw last year in September he got like 14 at-bats or something, and he was left off a playoff roster. So the team has shown a willingness to move away from him if he's slumping before. But I think Justin Smoke's going to be that guy with, you know, maybe a bit of Steve Pierce mixed in and the very occasional Kendrys Morales.
How long do you think Justin Smoke could continue hitting the way that he hit in 2016 and keep his job?
That will depend on, as the Blue Jays front office would call them, the alternatives.
Right.
How is Rowdy Tellez doing at AAA? Right. You know, can Steve Pierce play there and the Blue Jays field a capable left fielder every day? You know, like, I don't think you want every day Ezekiel Carrera or even every day Melvin Upton Jr.
Yeah.
I think those guys are better suited as fourth outfielders. So if they're playing every day, they tend to get a little bit exposed. So it's like, well, at which position do you want to get exposed at here, first or left? So look, if it's the end of May and, you know, Justin Smoke has performed like 2016 and Rowdy Tellez has performed like 2016 in AAA, I think you make that move.
Sure. Yeah, I think that there would be a similar sort of time frame.
What do you think?
You know, it's interesting, though, because when you look at Smoke, last year he did hit 14 homers, 705 OPS. So even though those aren't great numbers, especially when you consider that he's in a hitter-friendly park, especially when you consider that he's at an offensive position, they don't jump off the page as being unplayable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're, by no means am I trying to justify it.
No,
that's obviously not good production, but it doesn't jump as being, oh my goodness, you know, he's hitting 150 with three homers and four RBI.
He's not the disaster that a lot of people make him out to be. He's not ideal. And look, and it hurts him certainly that he plays kind of a position that people look to as like a premium offensive spot. But yeah, he hasn't been, you know, as bad as people paint him. I think the last year was just the strikeout rate that really stuck out to you. Like, we're talking 32.8% last year, which is up from 26.2, a career average of 23.9. So that's like almost 10 points above his career average. So he was just striking out too much last year. I think that really stood out.
And then, you know, if you're looking at it on the whole, you still have to admit that it's below average. You know, that position for the Blue Jays is a weakness.
But nobody's asking the world from him. Like, if he could be 2015 Justin Smoke, which was a 768 OPS player, a guy who had a 300 OBP, I mean, like, not incredible numbers. Like, not, but like, that's all anyone's asking for is just, you know, lower the strikeouts, up the walks and homers, and be that guy.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So nobody's asking him to, you know, be Chris Davis or, you know, to be like, you know what I mean? Like, just be the bar that he has to reach isn't that much higher than where he was.
And he's been there before. So, you know, you can understand. I mean, this is the time for optimism too, right? Still spring training. So you can understand it. And you just wonder how long that leash is.
How long do you think the leash is?
I'd say if he keeps this up, then, you know, a few months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're itching to get rid of him by any stretch. I think they want to give him a good long look.
And I think it'll also depend on the performance of the team.
Yes.
You know, like, if the team starts, you know, 30-10, it's going to be a lot different than if they start 10-30. You know, like, that's, you know, all, if they're losing a lot, people are really going to be looking, and Justin Smoke's performing the way he was in 2016, people are really going to be looking at, like, this is a place where you can make an impact, where you can change this and turn this thing around. If they're winning a lot, Justin Smoke's performing that way, it'll get glossed over a little bit, and I think the leash will be longer. So it's really going to depend on how, you know, the team performs in a lot of ways, I think.
If this team is 10-30, people are going to be so angry at Justin Smoke. It doesn't matter what he's doing. They're going to be so mad at him.
I envision a scenario where the team is 10-30 and like Justin Smoke has like a 500 OBP. He's like having this great year, but Josh Donaldson is just like bottomed out completely. Jose Bautista doesn't have a home run yet. Imagine that scenario. If you can.
It's tough to imagine. I'm working
on it. Does that not seem realistic then?
Something about it. I don't know.
As we continue to move our way around the diamond, looks like Devin Travis is going to be ready for opening day to play second base. Always a nice sign for young Devin. You know, a really good young player. Kind of a little bit similar to Steve Pierce. Just hasn't, you know, has hit really well in very limited exposure. But, you know, has had injury troubles. I don't know. I don't have a question here. It's just Devin Travis. You know, like, it is what it is, right?
I got a question for you. So do you think that the newfound optimism surrounding Devin Travis has almost gotten to the point where it's a little much?
What do you mean by that? Like, well, the newfound optimism?
Now that it looks as though he's going to open the season on the active roster,
yes,
as opposed to the disabled list, it seems like there's a tendency to pencil him in for 162 now and say, okay, well, he's healthy, so that means he's good to go. I just don't see it that way, because he's coming back from A, knee surgery, B, a bone bruise that he's still dealing with. And I just think it's different to play 9 innings 7 days a week than it is to play 5 innings 3 times a week.
Oh,
and,
of course.
And, you know, for the Blue Jays and for Devin Travis, this is a big year. And of course, they want to see him in there. And of course, they're very optimistic. But I just think that there's an element here that we haven't seen. You know, we haven't seen him do that day after day. And so until we see that, I'm going to reserve a little bit of judgment.
Yeah, you know, until Devin Travis proves that he can play a full season healthy, people are always going to ask those questions, right? Which is, and look, like, I tried to shy away from it because, look, the shoulder thing was like a freak thing unique to him. He had like an extra bone in his shoulder. What do you want the guy to do about that?
Yep.
All right? And then, look, the knee thing was a legitimate injury.
Yes.
So really, there's, you know, it's one, like, legit thing.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. The knee injury was a legitimate, significant injury that he is not yet fully recovered from.
Sure.
I mean, maybe he has and he just turned the corner and it's all in the rearview mirror. But maybe it lingers, you know? And I think that as much as he's been tested this spring, there are still going to be more tests that he faces when he plays every single day.
And look, they've been pushing him hard in the last couple of weeks. Like, he's been playing almost every day between minor league and major league games. And obviously, it's not the same as regular season. You don't have the travel grind, and you don't have you're not fouling as many balls off your legs and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you know, there's going to be nicks and bruises and bumps, and he's going to have to get through it. But I don't know. I can't be cynical about it and count him out right now. Like, I can't, you know. I can't go down that road.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think if you're taking a realistic look at where the Blue Jays stand and you're looking at second base, then I think we have to acknowledge that you can't just pencil him in for the full season.
Right. What I will say about Devin Travis is that he missed the first month and a half last year, and he came back and he was healthy and playing through till the playoffs. So that's from mid-May through to the playoffs. And we're looking at a 785 OPS, a second baseman.
He's a great player. He's a really good player.
Great hitter.
Yeah.
You know, so if the Blue Jays can get healthy Devin Travis, last year he had 432 plate appearances. If this year he can get up to 550, 600, I'm fine. If you've even got to give him extra days off, you know what I mean? Like, if, you know, maybe he's not like an everyday guy. Maybe he gets 2 days off a week or something like that just to manage that knee thing.
Sure.
If that keeps him, you know, off the DL, I'm happy.
Absolutely.
So that's great production from second base. And then you can sub in Darwin Barney there behind him. And Darwin Barney once or twice a week isn't the worst thing in the world.
It's totally fine. Yeah, I think that would be a very good case scenario for the Blue Jays. And look, everyone's rooting for Devin Travis. I mean, he's someone that, has a lot of friends in the game and is someone who's very well regarded by his teammates and by everyone in Toronto. And it will be fun to see what he can do if he's out there for a full year.
Absolutely. Left side of the infield, Troy Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson. Perhaps you've heard of them. pretty decent players. I don't know. I'd say, enjoy that. Like, you've got two guys who, look, Tulo was on a Hall of Fame track. Josh Donaldson has had, a Hall of Fame, 3 or 4 years. Those are, two really exceptional elite players, and they play in Toronto every day. You know?
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you think about the best seasons in Blue Jays history, Josh Donaldson has had a couple of them.
Yeah.
And he's still in his prime. He's still in a position to have another one of those elite, elite seasons. And for a franchise that's now 40 years old, for him to be in that conversation with guys, you know, on a per year basis, throw in Roberto Alomar or Roger Clemens, you know, that's the level that he's played at. And we almost forget that, or at least I almost forget that, because there's been so much else going on with this team. You're never thinking about, oh, where does this guy fit in history, or what has he done to distinguish himself in the context of this franchise, because there's always something coming up. But it's pretty impressive what he's done.
He's only been here for 2 years, and he is like, you know, he might be like a top 10 Blue Jay already.
Sure.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, he's had two unbelievable, phenomenal, MVP worthy years, you know, Silver Sluggers, All-Star games, all that kind of stuff. So that's super cool. And then Troy Tulowitzki is just, you know, you kind of like, you, when being around the team and around the clubhouse and around Major League Baseball players, you get a sense of like the aura of Troy Tulowitzki and how they, everybody looks up to this guy and how he is regarded and revered in this game. And that's kind of a cool thing that I've gotten to experience since he's been around.
Yeah. I mean, he's been around a while now. So yes. You look at a lot of players coming up, they might have had posters of Tulo up on their bedroom wall, especially some of these younger guys. Like you see a Corey Seager, a Lindor, a Carlos Correa. That young wave of shortstops now is way younger than Tulo.
Yeah, and you know what? Even despite a pretty deep offensive funk at the beginning of last season and a stint on the DL, if I remember correctly, still got to a 761 OPS as a shortstop.
Yeah.
And that's all right.
Right. And I think that, you know, at least personally, I'm past the point where I'm thinking, oh, can Tulowitzki do more? I think he already does a lot. If he's able to go out there and replicate what he did last year and down the stretch in 15, well, that was more injury plagued. But if you can replicate what he did last year, I think you take that if you're the Blue Jays.
Yeah. You know, we never really got a true explanation for why he started last year in such a funk. I mean, it really was deep. As you know, I quickly look it up here. Like in April, he hit 169, you know, and then in May, he hit 238.
And not a lot of power.
Right. Yeah. Not a ton of extra base hits. And then he turned it around, man. You look at July, he hit 308. August, 273. June was 263. September, October, 269. So he really did turn it around in a big way. Who knows what was going on there. But, you know, I can only assume that Troy Tulowitzki learned from that early season slump and how to do something differently this year so that he doesn't experience something similar.
For what it's worth, he seems very comfortable here in a way that he probably wouldn't have been. Certainly down the stretch in 15, or even maybe this time last year.
Yes. Speaking of somebody started last year in a pretty deep slump and ended it in a deep slump, Russell Martin behind the plate. Look, man, I think, you know, I've said it time and again, I think Russell Martin's one of the most, probably the most indispensable part of this team when you just look at how he affects everything that's going on in the diamond. You know, not only his bat as a catcher, which is, for a catcher, among the best hitting catchers in baseball, the way he handles the pitching staff, the way he calls games, frames strikes, communicates with umpires, throwing to the bases. He's the general on the field when the team is on defense. And, he's so, so, so important to this team. And that's what I have to say about Russell Martin.
Yeah, I think the more that you watch Russell Martin, the more of an appreciation you can get for the kind of value that he delivers. It's not something that's going to appear to you if you're watching a 3-game series in April when he goes 0 for 8 with a walk. You know, it's not going to jump out at you necessarily game over game. But I think over the course of the last couple of years, it's just become so apparent when you hear pitchers talk about the way that they work with him. Guys like Francisco Liriano, the young starters who have taken huge strides forward. When you look at the durability that he offers, the kind of, you know, you can fault him to a certain extent for putting his body on the line in this way, but the kind of effort that he puts into going after foul balls or, you know, chasing a ground ball that's in front of the pitcher's mound, and he is going to pounce on that and just fire a rocket down to first base. You know, those are the kind of plays, the kind of high intensity plays that sometimes put catchers or put players on the disabled list. Martin has stayed healthy. He's been productive offensively. He's been productive defensively. And I don't think that you look at stats like wins above replacement. I think that for a catcher, for a good defensive catcher, there's probably something unaccounted for there. So I tend to veer on the side of assuming that he does more for this team than what we see on the stats page.
Oh, yeah. No, I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes with him, with working with pitchers, discussions with pitchers, video, all that kind of stuff. A lot of work with Pete Walker. Like, yeah, he's indispensable, man. And like you said, he'll dive headfirst into dugouts. You know, like he'll do things for this team. He'll put his body on the line. And last year, he had a very serious knee injury that he played through over the back half of last year and through the postseason, and it messed him up huge. And then he lost his thumb because Troy Tulowitzki.
Like, I mean, he still has his thumb.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he injured his thumb, so he just lost that ability at the plate to really grip the bat the way he needed to. He was really banged up last year, so I think that the one thing I've noticed about Russ Martin this year is he's leaner He looks like he's lost some weight, and he's more muscular, and he looks like he's in pretty good shape to be durable this year, I would say.
And then behind him, you have Salta Lamakia, someone who has started in the past. So I think that if they had to go to their backup for 10 days, 15 days, you'd probably be more comfortable doing that this year than you would in the past. And that's realizing that Salta Lamakia, not a great defensive catcher and not a great offensive player either, but he's good enough in both departments to hold his own.
I think he proved this spring that he can handle everybody on this pitching staff. We saw him catch Francisco Liriano, who's probably the toughest guy to catch. Made it look pretty easy. You know, he caught Sanchez, Estrada, Hap. Like, it's not the easiest staff to handle in the world. A lot of guys who pitch differently and like to do different things. Like, Marcus Stroman's got like six pitches, and he pitches with weird windups and hitches in his delivery and all kinds of stuff. And so it's a there's a lot going on with this, with these pitchers. I think Jared Salta Lamakia, you know, Russ Martin going to the WBC as a coach kind of helped him get these opportunities. I think he proved he can handle all five guys on the staff. So yeah, you don't worry that much if he had to step in for a week.
Yeah, and it's much different than having Josh Tolley on that roster, even though Tolley, again, he was familiar with these guys and he could do it, but just that offensive black hole that you would get, it's a different look this year.
At designated hitter, you're going to see a lot of Kendrys Morales. Do you buy into some of the StatCast stuff, the exit velocities, launch angles, KC's massive outfield? Do you buy into some of the conjecture that Kendrys Morales could be due for a pretty nice offensive season now that he is in a hitter's environment?
I think that, and there's an article on Yahoo Sports outlining this, I think what we can likely expect from Morales is more homers and a little bit of a drop in batting average, a little bit of a drop in his singles and doubles production, and more home runs. So I think he'll probably be overall a similar offensive player, but maybe more power.
I bet you Kendrys Morales already does this, but if I was the Blue Jays hitting coach, I'd say put everything in the air. Hit it up, man. Everything in the air. I do not want to see you trying to move runners over, hitting ground balls the other way. Everything in the air.
Well, I don't think he's going to leg out too many infield singles, so that's probably a good idea.
But that if you got a runner on second, nobody out or something, don't go the other way. Just hit it in the air. I don't care if you strike out. Hit it in the air, man. Because if you keep that approach all year, I think he's going to, I think 35 home runs wouldn't be the craziest thing.
Sure.
This year.
Yeah. I mean, he had 30 last year.
Yeah.
In a much tougher park. So I think 35 is within reach.
Totally. So this is a guy who had higher exit. He was a top 10 exit velocity guy last year. Higher exit velocities than Josh Donaldson, Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista. The Blue Jays have a lot of players who hammer the ball. Kendrys Morales is going to be number one on that list this year. He barrels it.
Be fun to watch.
Yes. That takes us around the diamond. We kind of talked about, Salta Lamakia. We talked about backup infielders, Darren Barney, Ryan Goins.
Yeah, they'll be solid.
They're fine.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And they're beyond fine. That, you got Petit and Elmore. So nice second wave if you have to go there for a little bit more depth.
Yeah, they're fine. And, so that's the diamond. And now we have a bullpen. And the bullpen begins with one Roberto Osuna, who I think we should just focus in on a little bit.
Yeah.
He's had an interesting spring, Mr. Osuna. Velocity's down. No denying that. Hasn't been in games much, dealing with a neck and a back thing. Even, I don't know if you noticed, well, I don't know if he was gone yet when you were down there, but just not even around very much. Like, just kind of hidden a little bit, I felt like, and which is always just kind of, when you don't see a guy a lot during spring, it always just kind of piques your interest of what's he up to? Where, is he in the trainer's room? Is he on a backfield working on something? What's going on here? A bit of a concerning month from Roberto Osuna.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And
results certainly haven't been great.
Exactly. So that's the first part of it. And then secondly, you look at how he's getting there, and he's dealing with some neck and back stiffness, so that's never good. And his velocity has dropped off. And part of me says, okay, you don't want to read too much into a guy whose velocity is down in spring because it's spring training.
Yeah.
But then you look at the other side of it, and if he were throwing 99, like if he had gained 3 miles in velocity on his fastball, we'd definitely be talking about that, right?
Yeah.
And people would be saying, oh, there's so much reason to expect Osuna to take his game to the next level. This is time for his, his breakout. He's going to be even better in 2017. But Instead, he's dropped 3 miles an hour. So that's got to be a question mark, you know, a minor concern heading into this season. Not to say that he can't feel a little bit better, restore that velocity, and be right back on track. But you do wonder.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that especially with the neck and back thing, the fact that he, you know, got hurt pretty quickly this spring after, look, last year, this is a guy who pitched 74 innings in the regular season. And in the postseason, he had, let's see, oh man, I'm going to have to do math. I think 9, it looks like. So we're looking at a guy who was up to 83 innings last year between regular season and postseason. That's a lot, man, for a young guy who's had Tommy John in his career. And like we remember down the stretch last year when he was basically John Gibbons' only go-to option when, you know, Jason Grilli just didn't look good at the end of the year. You know, Joe Biagini had been used so much. So we were seeing, you know, all right, tonight, Roberto, we need 5 outs. And tomorrow night, we need 4. And then maybe get a day off, but we're going to need 4 outs the night after that again. You know, like I remember doing the math in a stretch when it was like, oh my God, Roberto Osuna has pitched so much. That's concerning. That is troubling. So when you combine the velocity down with the injuries, with the body looks a bit different in the uniform this spring, I have to say, just by my eye, it's a concern right now. And I'm sure the Blue Jays are, you know, all over this. He's such an important piece. I'm sure they're doing everything they can to get him back up to speed. And maybe it's a situation where the first week of the regular season is kind of like the last week of spring training for him, where he's still finding his feet and still figuring it out. And we never know. In spring training, maybe, you know, sometimes guys hold back a bit on their fastball.
Yep.
He might not be pumping it, you know, quite as hard as he would in the regular season. He's also a guy, I think, Roberto Osuna, who mentally just thrives in real, live, like, high-pressure situations. You know, I'd have to go back and look at it, but I can't imagine he's had great spring stats in previous years.
Just, certainly did in 15.
Did he in 15?
Well, to make the team.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
And then I don't
but
remember.
But that was a situation where he had to make the team, right?
Yep.
Like, so he had that pressure. Like, I wonder if, you know, just... He just seems like a guy who hasn't done great in his career in non-safe situations. I feel like he, you know... I feel like he really thrives in those, you know, in certain spots.
Sure.
So, and he hasn't faced those spots yet. So maybe, you know, opening day against Baltimore, he comes in with a 1-run lead and just shoves, right? And strikes out 3 guys swinging. Who knows? But the data that we've gotten so far, the results and evidence that we've seen so far in 2017 has not been positive.
Yeah, we'll be in Montreal this weekend covering the Blue Jays and Pittsburgh Pirates, and Roberto Osuna apparently going to pitch in one of those games. I'm going to be very interested to see how he does in that environment. Because you talk about a bit more energy and your final chance to tune up. I would think that he will be going max effort at that point. You're not holding back, you know, in that setting. So I'll be interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, if anything, he's got to prove something this weekend. You know, like it's because there's, you know, if we're having these questions marks about him, you know the team is as well. You know, and after the Italy game, you know, and every like it's just he needs something positive to go into the season on. Behind him, Jason Grilli was kind of probably your primary setup guy. He's another guy who I've got some slight concerns about. Velocity's been down this spring. He's been getting hit this spring. Again, look, the guy's 40. He's been through enough spring trainings. It's, you know, he's not using this time in a way that a younger ball player might be. But results and the radar gun, which, hey, it's a, you know, Florida single-A ballpark radar gun, so who knows what's going on there, but has been encouraging.
And if anything, I thought the radar gun was a little hot this spring.
Did you?
Yeah. Marco Estrada is throwing like 90 miles an hour, right?
Well, Marco said the 90 was legit. Or at least he told me that. He's feeling more healthy this year. Yeah.
No, I think that going back to the bullpen, the group that they opened the season with is not going to bowl people away. You know, especially when you look around baseball and you have a lot of stacked bullpens. You have a lot of bullpens with guys who throw 95 and you have lefties and righties and they are just deep in a way that the Blue Jays bullpen is not. So they are going to need to stand out from the crowd a little bit with guys like Smith and Howell who throw less than 90 miles an hour. Grilli is 40 years old. Biagini, 1 year removed from being a Rule 5 pick. A lot of bullpens are just a little more power-packed than the one we see here. So it's a good thing then that the Blue Jays do have some reinforcements in AAA with guys like Chris Smith, Danny Barnes, Ryan Tepera, Dominic Leone. These are guys that I think we're going to see a lot of this year. And depending on how things go out of the gate, they could be up before too long.
Where are you at on Jason Grilli?
I think wait and see, just because, you know, he's earned the benefit of the doubt just by virtue of being around for so long.
Right.
So I think he knows how to get ready for a big league season. Let's see what happens when he gets out there.
Yeah. My concern is the velocity. And I look at last year when he struggled last year in April and May with the Braves. His fastball was 92 miles an hour. He came to Toronto and it was 93, 94. He was a lot better. This spring we've seen 91. So that's what concerns me. But again, spring, maybe he's holding back. If I was 40, I'd probably hold back in spring as well. I'd probably do something similar. But I don't think that you shouldn't have the expectation that he's just going to go out there and be as good as he was last year.
Right. And on the whole last year, I mean, he did have his ups and downs. We remember those punch outs. We remember those excited celebrations. And he had some great moments here in Toronto. On the season last year, I think his ERA was 4.12, something in that range. So, you know, it's not as though it was a dominant season start to finish for him.
4.12 exactly. Yeah. 5.29 with Atlanta and then 3.64 with the Blue Jays. And we saw him wear down at the end of last year as well. So that's going to be something interesting to watch. Joe Biagini is going to be a massive part of this bullpen, I think. I think he's going to pitch a ton.
Yeah.
And he's looked really good in spring. And
really good.
You know, he's the kind of guy who doesn't seem to care about, you know, having a clean inning or whatever. He'll come in and throw runners on. He'll do whatever you ask him. Pitch middle innings. He'll pitch late innings. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Joe Biagini save attempt, you know, at some point this year.
I'd almost be surprised if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if Asuna goes out there and dominates, there are going to be nights that he's already pitched twice in a row. You've got to go to someone else at that point.
Yeah. I think that could be Biagini on some nights. JP Howell and Joe Smith, we'll see. Kind of $3 million rolls of the dice. They both have looked good recently. They had struggles earlier in spring, but they kind of locked it in recently. We'll see, man. You know, those guys just get through the 6th, 7th, you know, get it to the 8th. You know, that's their role. JP Howell, get your lefties out. You know, Joe Smith, like, get ground balls from righties.
Yeah. And they should do that. Yeah. I don't really see any reason to be overly optimistic or pessimistic with those guys. I think they are who they are, and they're going to help this team.
That's your back five. You got Aaron Loop as your second lefty. The Blue Jays are very encouraged with what he's done this spring. He's had more velocity. He's kind of fixed his delivery. He was telling me he kind of got into a point last year where he was getting too upright. I guess for sidearmers like him and Loop, you want to get that hunch. It's like him and Smith, excuse me. You want to get that hunch. It'll be a little bit leaned forward. So watch him pitch and you'll see he's got a little lean forward. And he says he's got that back and that helped his arm slot. His arm slot back. So that's helping his stuff move and helping them locate. We'll see if it translates, you know, in the majors. But Aaron Loop's coming north of this team. He's going to try to get lefties out. And if he can get to a point where you can trust him against righties as well, he suddenly becomes a more interesting option.
So you're very confident he comes north?
Yeah, are you not? I am.
Yeah.
I think he's coming north for sure.
Yeah, I would think he's very likely to.
I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be the second lefty in this bullpen. To me. And then so what? That gives, that was 6. And so that leaves spot one more,
Bolsinger,
you know, revolving door. I think on opening day, it'll be Bolsinger just because he's out of options. He's had a good spring. You can option Tapera. Barnes has already been optioned. I'm trying to think who else would be in that mix. Leone has a lot of options. Yeah. I think Leone has like proven something this spring. Eh? Like, I think the Blue Jays like what he's done, but that'll be a revolving door, that spot. But I think it'll start with Mike Bolsinger. And it helps to have somebody who can give you some length with Bolsinger.
They need that. They definitely need that.
They don't have that guy who can do mop-up duty.
Right. Someone goes out and allows a 4 spot and, you know, has no command. Well, you've got to get through the 3rd and 4th and 5th and get the ball to those middle relief types.
It's not a glamorous job.
But, no.
But they need that guy. Because you don't want to be burning, like, you know, Joe Biagini in that spot or like a committee of like, all right, here's Joe Smith in the 3rd inning and here's JP Howell in the 4th. Like, you want to have a mop-up guy in there, but it'll be a revolving door. Like, you'll see Leone. I think you might see Casey Lawrence make an appearance in this bullpen at some point this year. Any other names that stick out to you? Matt Latos?
Yeah, it looks like he'll start the season at AAA.
Yeah.
I would expect that at some point they will have to tap into that starting pitching depth, and guys like Lawrence and Latos at that point become leading considerations.
Anyone else?
I'm sure we'll see lots more guys.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to see dozens of pitchers up here this year.
Who's the 6th starter right now?
I would guess Latos.
Latos? Yeah. I guess it probably is him. And he has not shown much this spring.
He has not.
He really has not had a great spring at all. And it's interesting when you make a call on him, because if you bring him up for even a start, now you're on the hook for $1.5 million with him.
Well, prorated.
Pro, yeah.
Yeah. So you wouldn't.
There are still. Is there not a financial consideration there? Like,
My understanding would be that he would get paid $1.5 million at the big league level.
Right.
So it would be they would have a minor league amount that he would get paid and a big league amount.
Don't forget about Glenn Sparkman, who will be coming back from his broken hand at some point. The Blue Jays will have to make a decision on him. Rule 5 pick. He'll factor in. Poor Bo Schultz is going to have elbow surgery today, I think. Sucks for him because he's had a lot of injury, a lot of bad luck with injuries in his career.
Yeah, definitely a blow for Bo Schultz. I guess if there's a silver lining, you know, he can rehab, earn some service time and some big league DL money and hopefully get back to full strength.
And Ryan Tepera, I hope you get travel points, my man, because you're going to be making some trips.
Do they award travel points for driving between Toronto and Buffalo? Do you get travel points?
I don't know. Does he rent a car every time he does? Or what, do they fly those guys? I wonder what they do.
I think they have a car service.
They have a car service? Oh, so can't even get the points. That sucks. But Ryan Tepera does have this going for him. He will be the first subject of our third annual ATL over-unders, which Ben and I will go through after this on At The Letters. It continues on At The Letters. Arden Zwelling, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Our producer is Sam McKee. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam A. McKee. Ben's on Twitter at B. Nicholson-Smith. We're going to do our over-unders. Very exciting. Over-unders. I teased it before the break. Ryan Tepera is the first over-under. You wrote this one. And I don't know. I wouldn't say it's cruel. But last year, Ryan Tepera was optioned 6 times.
That's the cruel part.
Yeah.
That's the cruel part.
And Ryan Tepera has options again, and he's very much on that bullpen bubble. He's in that position. So we're going to go the number of times the Blue Jays option Ryan Tepera this season. We've set the over-under at 4.5. What say you, Ben?
I'm taking the under. I think he will be optioned many times, but I think it'll be closer to 3.
Wow. I'm going to take the over because I just think he's just going to ride that shuttle again, man.
Yeah. If anyone will, it'll be him.
Yeah. You know, like, and he's, you know, unless he comes up and like shoves, right? Like say the first time they bring him up and he pitches so well that they can't option him. But then you also still get caught in that position where it's like, look, he's the only guy with options. We need a fresh arm, you know.
And he pitched really well this spring and he's still probably not going to make the team. If he does, he'd be a logical candidate to be optioned pretty early in the season. I just think that performance is one of the factors, but it's definitely not the driving one when it comes to guys who are on that roster bubble.
Ryan Tepera, 29 years old. Wouldn't have thought that. All right, second one, another kind of minor league-ish one. Rowdy Tellez, MLB games played over-under. We set it at 30.5. So will Rowdy Tellez play 31 games?
So if he were to be called up in September, which I think he will, then say he gets into a good chunk of games, that would put him a good bit of the way toward getting to 30.5. But I'm going to take the under here just because I don't know if he's going to get that roster spot before rosters expand in September.
I'm going to take the over. Because I think Rowdy Tellez is going to go to AAA and rake and force the issue.
Nice.
That's kind of what I think.
Two different answers already.
Yeah, I know.
This is good.
Yeah. And I'm also trying to disagree with you. But like, I'm going to go with the over on 30.5. Because look, 30.5, like say he even came up in like mid-August, you know, or say Justin Smoke like pulled a hammy or something. He could very easily get over that 30-game mark.
There's the DL factor too, right? Yeah. If Smoke were to, you know, strain a groin, for example, then he's out for 2-3 weeks and they need someone up there. At that point, it could be a move made out of necessity.
Even if Kendrys Morales got hurt, right? Like, yep. If he tweaked something on oblique or something on a swing, I think Rowdy Tellez would probably be the guy coming up.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because at that point, you need to have an extra offensive force. You don't necessarily want to miss out on that offense. Now, Mark Shapiro has said they want to see him go to AAA and really hit well there. So I think the first couple months of the season are going to be AAA development time for Tellez.
I'm with you on that.
After that, though, anyone's guess.
I don't see the benefit to a full season of AAA like I do with a full season of AA. You know what I mean? Like once a guy's, he's done full season AA, he's been through other stops of the minors, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's got it.
And they like Tellez a lot.
But he's also still super young, eh? Like he's still like
22.
Yeah. No, he's like, he should be in college. He's still very, very young. Our third over under, we're going to go through the starting staff here, starting with Toronto Blue Jays starting pitchers used. The over under is set at 10.5. I will start this by taking the under. I think that the Blue Jays will use 10 or less starting pitchers this season.
I'm taking the over.
You would.
And I'm very interested to see who those 8th and 9th and 10th and 11th options would be. You know, it's really not clear on this team. It's a clear weakness on this team when you look beyond, really beyond the starting five. Then maybe Lawrence and Latos are 6-7. What happens beyond that? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. And I say that not because I have doubts about any individual pitcher, but just because you look around baseball, 10, 11 starters, that's the norm for how many it takes to get through a season.
You're expecting somebody to get hurt, though. You're gonna need somebody to get hurt.
Absolutely.
You're going to need maybe two somebodies to get hurt.
But that should be the expectation going into the year. Almost every team deals with this. The Blue Jays were so exceptional last year to go through a season where they didn't have a starting pitcher injury.
Yeah, they used 7 last year. And really, I mean, it was 5 guys who carried most of the load. Francisco Liriano then had 8 starts, and Drew Hutchison had his 2.
And even very good rotations, I mean, you look at teams like the Mets, they're always dealing with injuries to their rotation. Even though they have some very good performances and some elite arms, there are still questions surrounding a Matt Harvey or surrounding a Steven Matz. And I just think that when you look at 6 months, someone is going to need a breather at some point.
The Blue Jays starting staff ERA last year, it was 3.64, led the American League. The league average was 4.34. We set the over-under right at 4. Or actually, no, let's adjust. 3.99.
Okay.
Like 3.99.5, if you can even do that with ERA. So it's the question is, will the Blue Jays staff have a 4 ERA or below?
Right. Does it start with a 4 or a 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, it could start with a 2. You never know. Could start with a 5.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Wow. I'll go under, but man, that's I think the toughest one yet.
Yeah.
That's the toughest one yet.
That is a tough one. You look, the league average was 4.34.
Yeah.
And we think the Blue Jays have an above league average rotation. Probably a top 6 or 7 rotation in baseball. And that might even be, you know what I mean? Like that's kind of benefited of the doubt a little bit. I'm going to go under as well. I think they'll, you know, I don't think that they'll go 3.64 again.
No.
But I think they could be around 3.8, 3.9.
Yeah, you know? I think that's pretty fair. When you look at the kind of talent that they have, you know, there's really not a bad starter in that group. And very few teams can say that. Even some of the teams that, like the Chicago Cubs, best team in baseball, but their number 5 starter looks to be Brett Anderson right now. That's definitely worse than the Blue Jays' 5th starter. Definitely.
Yes. The thing that'll screw it up is somebody will get hurt, and then Matt Latos will have to make 10 starts. And the, you know, that'll skew the numbers a little bit.
I don't know if that's skewing the numbers or just letting the numbers play out. But yeah, that's not going to be a fun day for the Blue Jays.
Final one on the starting staff. Blue Jays starting staff complete games. Last year, the Toronto Blue Jays somehow, despite this really great starting rotation, despite guys who, you know, logged a ton of innings, looking at last year, Marcus Stroman, 204, J-Hap, 195, Aaron Sanchez, 192, 3 pitchers over 190 innings pitched. Not a single complete game from the Toronto Blue Jays last year. We are expecting some correction there, but not a ton. So we are setting the over-under at 1.5 complete games for the Toronto Blue Jays. I will start with some faith and confidence in this Blue Jays starting staff that I said would have a below 4 ERA. I think they will have 2 complete games or more.
Wow.
And I think that Marcus Stroman will throw both of them.
Okay, that's very precise.
Boom. That was a thing I wasn't expecting to say. That was something that just came out of my mouth. We'll
unhinged.
See.
Yeah. Who knows what you might say next.
Man, I'm saying I'm going off the cuff with these things, man. I'm just making them up as I go along. I'm not, no prep this year, no prep.
I wish I had done prep on this one because I'd like to know what the MLB average was, but I'm just going to...
I could quickly look it up.
It's okay. I am curious, though, so do let me know what you find. But I'm going to take the under either way. I just think that... You don't see a lot of complete games anymore. It's just not the way baseball is going. You see a lot of, if the score is lopsided in any way, managers want to conserve their pitchers' arms. If the score is close in any way, managers seem to want to get their top relievers in there. So I just don't see that much of an appetite for complete games anymore.
So there were 83 in the major leagues last year.
So almost 3 per team.
83 divided by 30 teams. Yeah, 2.76. So 2.76 is league average. You're going to have, like, let me try to break this down by team, because I bet you that, like, the Giants had a whole boy. Yeah, the San Francisco had 10, Boston had 9. I guess David Price.
Porcello, maybe.
Steven Wright, maybe. Those knuckleballers, right? White Sox had 7. Chris Sale will help you there. Cubs, Indians, Pirates all had 5. 4 teams had 0, and the Blue Jays were among them.
Yeah, I just think that it's tough to do. I think that as each year goes by, we're going to see fewer complete games in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, so you took the under on that. I took the under. This is good, man. We have disagreed on 4 out of 5 so far. This is good. This is probably my favorite one right here. Over under Edwin Encarnacion home runs versus the Blue Jays. We've set it at 1.5. They will play 6 times, 7 times, one or the other.
Yeah, it'll be 6 or 7.
It'll be 6 or 7. So we're gonna have 6 or 7 games. Who knows if it'll be in all those games? 1.5 is the over under. We're not including postseason. It's just regular season. 1.5 home runs for Edwin Encarnacion versus the Toronto Blue Jays.
I'm going to take the under here. I think he's going to homer against them. I could see it even being in his first at-bat against the Blue Jays. I could just see him crushing one.
Hell yeah. I almost swore there. Oh, hell yeah. You know that first at-bat at Rogers Center. Yeah. He's going to like break a window in one of those hotel suites out there.
Yeah. I think he's going to be facing Estrada, sitting changeup, and just crushes one.
People are going to cry.
Yeah. That'll be fun to watch. That'll be awesome, actually. But I think that... Yeah, overall, it's just tough to predict more than one home run. If you're only playing 6-7 games, I don't see how you can take the over.
Is it tough to predict that then? You don't see how someone could take the over? Look before you, my friend.
Wow.
I taketh the over.
Nice.
Yes, I think that Edwin is going to hit at least 2 home runs against the Toronto Blue Jays this year.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fun.
He knows this pitching staff, man. He's been sitting in that dugout watching Marco Estrada just, pump that 89 mile an hour fastball in there. He's been watching Jay Happ trying to get ahead with his 2-seamers. He knows what to look for. He knows this pitching staff inherently, and he knows how to capitalize against them.
As I recall, I think that we've seen a bunch of former Blue Jays come back. Like Vernon Wells homered, I think, in his first game against the Blue Jays. We've seen this happen before.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you're like, of course that would happen, but then and it does happen.
Overbay maybe did it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who else. Didn't Danny Valencia get the Jays?
Might have.
Or, there's one that I'm forgetting, and there's a guy who always comes back and kills the Jays. I don't know. It's not coming to me. But, yeah, no, it's Edwin Encarnacion's going to, he's going to break some hearts this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Steve Pierce, games played. His career high is 102. We are asking, will Steve Pierce set a new career high in games played? We have set the over-under at 102.5. I will start, and I will take the over.
Wow.
You get that done, Steve Pierce. And this is solely because I spoke to Steve Pierce quite a bit this year about his conditioning, and he has convinced me. I have drank the Kool-Aid. He has brainwashed me into, he works out differently now. He's got the kettlebells going, the elastic bands. He's a real animal in that gym. He's working with the high-performance department. So give me the over on the 102.5 games played for Steve Pierce.
Nice. I have to take the under here.
Of course. And
I think that, this is when you look at any player trying to set a new career high in any department, any category, it's tough to predict that they're going to set a new career high. That's asking a lot. So whether it's games, whether it's home runs, strikeouts, I'm just not inclined to expect players to set new career highs. So I'm taking the under.
It's not the high, like 102, like it's not a crazy high number.
No. It's quite a low number for someone who has his MLB experience and success, because he's very good. He's a very good player. Take nothing away from Steve Pierce, but he just has had some trouble staying healthy. And, even in a best case scenario, he wouldn't play every single day necessarily. I think they would find ways to rest him, even if he's on the roster for 6 months continuously.
Yeah.
So, I'm comfortable taking the under here.
The next one, I bet you I can predict how you're going to answer this one, and you also know how I'm going to answer this one.
Yep.
Kendrys Morales, games started at first base. Let me give you some historical data. In 2016, Kendrys Morales started 6 games at first base. In 2015, he started 9. In 2014, he started 14. He's done it before, man. He's gone over a dozen before. We have set the over-under for Kendrys Morales games started at first base. So it's not going to include like if he shifts there during a game. It's game. It starts. Like John Gibbons writes down Kendrys Morales first base when he gets to the ballpark.
I don't think Gibby writes those lineup cards.
How many times will that be written? The over-under is set at 9.5. I must take the over, considering the impassioned arguments that I've made on this very podcast.
And by that same logic, I must take the under. So that's we're disagreeing on a lot of these. I recall, like last couple of years, we were agreeing more.
We were agreeing more.
So I don't know what that says about the direction of at the letters.
I feel like, I don't know. We've only agreed on one so far, and we've done eight. That's good, man. That's good. It'll make it more fun at the end of the year. In 6 months when we revisit these and look like idiots, as we always do.
The best part about revisiting them is we'll go, oh, yeah, we actually were wondering about topic X.
Yeah.
I remember looking back last year at Chris Colabello. We're like, oh, yeah, he was a thing when the season started last year.
Absolutely. Keep that in mind as you're listening to this, that like at least one, if not two or three of these things will seem ridiculous at the end of the year.
Yeah. Because we'll say, you know, Devin Travis will go out, play 162 games. He'll be like your total Iron Man, not miss an inning. And then we'll say, oh, I can't believe we ever doubted that he would play in, you know, X number of games.
But the big thing is one of these players will not be like even a factor, you know, like something will, they'll just drop off the map, a la Chris Colabello. Kevin Pillar, I think it's pretty safe to say he'll be a very big factor this year. We're once again going to try to handicap his on-base percentage. Here's the thing about Kevin Pillar. He's got a career average 303 on base percentage. I believe last year it was like 299. I'm quickly looking that. Last year it was 303. So last year was right in line with his career average. But Kevin Pillar's been working on his approach. He's been taking more walks this spring. I've noticed it. I have noticed that he has chased less. And hey, approach is a funny thing because sometimes you get into a season and you're in a slump or something like that, and you start expanding, you start trying to make something happen. Ball players will say, "Oh, you know, I was trying to get four hits with one swing of the bat." So we'll see how that approach, you know, if it's consistent. Been working on the bunting. I watched Kevin Pillar bunt a ridiculous amount of times in a minor league game just a couple weeks ago, and I saw him get one down in a major league game. That was pretty nice. The over under for the Kevin Pillar OBP has been set at 309. What say you?
I'm taking the under. I mean, his career average is 303 for getting on base. So I just think that that's what we have to go on with Kevin Pillar.
Give me that over, baby.
Wow.
Get me 310, Kevin. You can do it.
Wow.
310 is doable. It's not that crazy. That's only 7 more points than he had last year. He had 314 in 2015.
Right. He's done it before.
Look, man, he puts down a couple bunts, gets on, you know, maybe a couple more walks. He's fast as hell. So if he just puts the ball in play a bit more, he can, you know, beat out some grounders or stuff like that. Give me that. I think he'll get over 309.
Nice.
Devin Travis games played. Last year, Devin Travis played 101. Will he surpass that and set a new career high? We have set the over under at 101.5. I gotta go over. I'm going over, man. I believe in Devin. I'm gonna go over.
I'm going under.
Yeah.
It comes down to projecting career highs for players, and it's a tough thing to do because I think we've seen, you know, in Devin Travis's case, not very much, but we have seen him at the big league level, and as much as, you know, this would be great for the Blue Jays, and you know, we all are rooting for Devin Travis as a guy, but it's tough to project a career high. So I will take the under.
It is it's an aggressive one, the 101.5, man. But like, the fact that he did it last year, and I think the people don't give him enough credit for, he was healthy for 4 months.
Yep.
4.5 months last year, and playing every day and productive, you know, and it just wasn't even, people didn't even consider the health thing. And then he got hurt in the playoffs. So give me the over. Give me the over. I'm a believer. Are we a believer in Marcus Stroman this year? We have set the ERA over under for Marcus Stroman at 3.65, which was his ERA as a rookie. Last year, his ERA was 4.37. It's kind of tough to get a gauge on where Marcus Stroman's like career, you know, mean ERA is, because he had the shortened season. in 2015. Last year, he had a lot of trouble with his two-seamer in the midseason, in the middle of the season. He went through a pretty deep slump. His first year in the majors, he was a completely different pitcher. He wasn't even really throwing that two-seamer much. We set the Marcus Stroman ERA over under at 3.65.
Take the under.
You'll take the under,
yeah.
Ben.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a good year. You know, I think that when you look at the elements coming together for him, where he established the durability last year, yeah. He's already established his ability to get ground balls, mixed pitches, mixed deliveries. I think that he's got a good defense behind him. I see him going under this. And I honestly, I could see it being under by a decent amount.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think like 3.3?
Sure, I could see that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Look, over the back half of last year, Marcus Stroman had a 3.42 ERA.
Yeah.
From July through the end of the year.
And I just don't think that it's that hard to imagine him doing that again. He's done it against good lineups. He's done it in this division. I think he's good. I think he's a good pitcher.
Yeah. I think the Puerto Ricans believe he's a good pitcher.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take the under as well. I don't know if it's going to be 3.3, but I could certainly see a 3.5, you know. 3.5 or even a 3.4. Like I said, you know, those last 3 months, you think about how much he struggled last year. Those last 3 months, 3.42 ERA. You know, that was a 16 start span. So, you know, just based on that and based on what he's shown this spring? Yeah, pretty good. Hesitation delivery.
You forgot what season it was.
Man, I'm a mess. Jose Bautista is projected by Zips to hit 27 home runs this year. Do you think that Jose Bautista will hit more than 27.5 home runs or less?
I think we're going to agree on this one.
Okay.
And I'm taking the over comfortably.
I as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even a debate.
Yeah.
For me.
Didn't require a lot of thought.
No. That's a real easy over for me. We could have set that at it's 27.5. We both took the over. But if it was set at like 34.5, would you still take the over? I might.
You want to change it?
No. Well, not to 34.5. That's too aggressive. Like, what do you get him at, like, what, 32, 33? Around there?
Not I have him hitting 34 to put you in my head spot. Right now.
34?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's probably around the 34, 35. Yeah, it's probably around there.
So you want to set...
You want to do 34.5 and you take the under and I take the over?
Yeah, I'll take the under because I have him at 34.
God damn it, Ben.
Yeah.
You're going to win that, though.
Exactly. That's my plan. That's exactly what I'm thinking. We're in agreement here.
Damn it. Yeah. All right.
So you're locked in there? 30. You're taking the over?
Oh, God. Fine.
I like it.
34.5. I'll take the
Best
over.
Best podcast of the year.
I need you to stay healthy, Jose. I need you on that field. I need you on that field. Yeah, screw it. Whatever. I'll hit 35. Whatever.
Nice.
Contract year. He did so well in that contract year last year, right? Francisco Liriano has a career average walks per nine innings of 3.9. He's shown better command this year, but a guy who has fallen into some pretty bad walk tendencies in the past. That's why the Blue Jays, a big reason Blue Jays are able to get him, walking too many guys in Pittsburgh. But Francisco Liriano's looked very locked in this spring. Is he going to walk less than 3.9 batters per nine innings, or will he walk more?
I'm going to take the under here. I think that he's got a defense that would inspire confidence. You're probably going to be more willing to put the ball in the strike zone if you have a good defensive team behind you.
Do you think with him, it's a willingness to put the ball in the strike zone?
You know what? That's
or
a good point.
At times, an inability.
That's a good point. So maybe that doesn't factor in so much. But the other element of this is Russell Martin, his ability to, whatever you want to call it, preserve, conserve, steal strikes. He is someone who can help his pitchers out. I think that it's under this year.
I also think that it's under this year. I am such a Francisco Liriano believer after what I've seen this spring. He looks great. Physically, he's great. He's made like tangible adjustments that you can point to as a reason why things are going better. Russ Martin, as you mentioned, has been a huge help to him. I think Pete Walker's done tremendous work with him. I think Francisco Liriano is going to have a really nice year. And it'll be interesting to see because going into free agency next year, it'll be interesting to see if he does have a really good year, what kind of contracts he can get at this point in his career.
Couple free agents in that rotation, Estrada as well. So a couple big years coming up.
Absolutely. We didn't have an Estrada over under here, surprisingly. Marco's always just Marco.
Yep.
But we do have an Aaron Sanchez over under, our penultimate over under here. I like this one a lot. Aaron Sanchez, regular season innings pitched, 199 2/3 is the over under. Will he reach 200 innings in the regular season or not? Ben, what do you got?
Under.
Nice.
Yep.
Why? Just because the Blue Jays are going to be cautious with him, and
I think a combination kind of things. Yeah. I think they will be a little bit cautious. You know, he's even starting in that fifth game of the season. He's got a blister issue, which seems relatively minor, but if that were to resurface, then that could get in the way of him pitching a lot of innings. And again, it's just, it's tough to predict these guys to set and to shatter career highs.
Yeah. You know, he threw 192 last year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I feel like in last year, if we had set like the over under at like 175, we might have both taken the under.
I think we did set it around 130.
Did we?
It escaped.
Right. Yeah. Because going into last year, we thought there was going to be a pretty serious restriction on him. There ended up not.
I think we set it at 150.
150.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that goes to show you the variance you can get from year to year. But yeah, I mean, look, my mind says take the under and my gut says take the over, because my mind says it's so, you know, last year, I think there was only like 30 guys through 200 innings, maybe less.
15.
15?
Yeah.
15 guys through 200 innings. Last
Three of them were on the Giants. There were only 10 teams in baseball that had a guy go 200 innings.
Yeah.
Most teams don't have a 200 inning guy.
Yeah.
Most.
So it's so rare.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, my mind says go. And like you said, blister concern. Blue Jays are probably going to back him off and be cautious with him. The reason my gut says the over is because he threw 192 last year. He was so good last year. And, like, it was impossible to get him out of a start last year before the seventh or eighth inning, because he was just cruising. But I'm going to go with the under.
Sounds like you were talking yourself in. Oh, you are going with the under.
I'm
going
to go with the under.
There we go.
Yeah. No, I've talked myself into the under.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah. I, you know, 200 innings is a big ask. He might get up to like 195.
Yep.
But yeah, I'll take the under. Final one. Toronto Blue Jays, postseason games. Does that include a wild card game?
Yeah. That's a playoff game. The Orioles played in a playoff game last year.
Toronto Blue Jays playoff games. Over under 0.5. I am going to take the over.
Yeah, same here. We agree. Should we change the over under?
This is the toughest one for me, though. Yeah, should we?
Should we change it to ALDS games played?
Sure.
Okay, we're changing it on the fly here.
Over under 0.5 ALDS appearances. 0.5 ALDS appearances.
So they have. Are they going to reach the ALDS? So either win the division or win the wild.
Or actually, why don't we set it for the ALCS? They've been the ALCS 2 years in a row.
Wow.
Though we're both going to take the under on that, yeah, I feel like. Yeah, where do you have them? Like, I think, like, oh man, it's so. Look, because if you get into a wild card game, who knows what's going to happen, right? Exactly. And I think the Blue Jays are good enough to be a wild card team if they stay healthy. What concerns me is, you know, if Josh Donaldson has an injury, or if, you know, two members of the rotation go down, that changes the equation rather quickly, because the depth on this team is troubling.
I have them as a wild card team. We're going to have our predictions up at sportsnet.ca over this weekend and on opening day, Monday, April 3rd, before the Jays open in Baltimore. And I'm going to have the Jays as a wild card team. I just think that they're good enough to get there. I think the Red Sox, they're the strongest team in this division. So that leaves me taking the over on this one.
I feel like I'm so like on the fence about it, because I think they are right on that like wild card cusp, right?
Yep.
But everything has to go right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like if everybody stays healthy and everything goes right for this team, I don't think we have them winning the division.
No.
So that, you know what I mean? That leaves a lot of variance. It's tough. So are we leaving it at, are we going ALDS? Do you have them as an ALDS team?
So you want, let's set the over under 0.5 games in the ALDS. Sure. So do they reach the ALDS?
0.5 ALDS appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take the over.
You'll take the over? Man, I'll take the under just to disagree. For the record, just to disagree. Because I don't know, man. It's 6 months away. Who knows, right? But like, I think that you can, you know, something will go wrong for this team. Something goes wrong for every major league ball club. And if, look, a couple injuries to key pieces could really submarine this outfit. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you believe they're an ALDS team. I'm going to say they are not an ALDS team, but they are a wild card team. That's what I'm going to say.
Wow. So we have a lot of
We had a lot of disagreement here, which is good.
Yeah, that's really good.
There's a lot of disagreement here. I took a couple of swings that I will likely regret.
Hey, not too late to change them. This is your chance.
No, man. I'm not.
Okay, you're going with it.
I'm not regretful. I have no regrets. So there you go. Hopefully you played along at home, and we'll see you in 6 months to figure out how that all turned out. This weekend, Ben and I will be in Montreal. We're going to endeavor to do a podcast there. So we might have a little bonus episode of ATL coming out this weekend. We'll also have regular coverage at sportsnet.ca and on 590 Sportsnet, the fan, and on Sportsnet, the television networks, and the many platforms.
Yes.
Looking forward to
all
that.
All over the map. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
You haven't done Montreal before, eh? It's good, man. It's a good time.
Yeah, it should be a good experience. You were there last year.
It's a great weekend,
yeah,
man.
Should be fun.
Almost more so for the off the field than the on the field. Like, it's just a cool atmosphere.
Yeah.
The city's just cool to be in the city that weekend.
Yeah.
And be out and about.
I was there not covering it, but when they had the opening game in 2014, I went to check it out, and it was a lot of fun. It's cool just seeing so many baseball fans in Montreal, because a lot of the time, Montreal isn't, you think of it as being a hockey city, of course, but it's cool to see the baseball fans really come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. So looking forward to that. Follow along. And then the regular season starts, man. We'll have ATL every Wednesday, maybe some bonus episodes here and there, depending on. We'll be with you all season. We look forward to following along with you.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. Our thanks, Sam McKee, for producing. That's Ben Nicholson-Smith. I'm Arden Zwelling. Thank you for coming along. We'll talk to you next time on At the Letters.